Barbara and her staff have done down there and what they're trying to do. As you can see, it's a big, huge problem. They did put the silt fence in, but it, you know, you go down there and there's gaps under it like this, and they go, you know, we watched them go in and out of there. And it's been hard on our equipment to bounce through those holes and everything. I recognize where I'm, you know, we're against a law here that the prairie dogs are on the threatened list, and there's not a whole lot we can do about it. But we are hoping that there could be something more done with the fencing down there, because the silt fence thing, it helps. I'm sure it helped a little bit, but I was pretty frustrated with all the holes underneath it and all that kind of stuff, and maybe they could do a little better job of fixing that up. And I know out here at the Perrone Airport, they dig down way deep, and, you know, I don't know if that's going to be in the budget or not, but it would sure be nice if they would. It's really hurt us. It's really, really hurt us down there. So we, I don't know that we're against the 20-acre acquisition. I mean, they've already got 180 acres down there, but I would really like a stronger commitment to fence down there, because it's a real big problem.
Come on up, Kevin. Why don't you guys all stay up
here?
And
Kevin, do you guys get reimbursed from U.S. Fish and Wildlife to the state budget for Barbara's efforts? And
no, this is all funded through what used to be called the Endangered Species Mitigation Fund. It's now the Species Protection Account, which is funded through the state, primarily through some taxes on brine shrimp collection on the Great Salt Lake and some other things. And then there's a law that was passed last year that will expand where some of that's coming from. But it's all funded by the state. There has been contributions from the Fish and Wildlife Service in the past, but they're intermittent. And we take advantage of them when we can get them. You know, I appreciate these gentlemen, and like they said, and I appreciate them acknowledging Barbara and her staff effort, because they've worked hard. And I do think there's an opportunity here to do just what they're requesting, and I will commit from the division to do that. We're rewriting the management plan for that wildlife management area. It's not going to happen before the middle of December, when we would like to execute this purchase. But if we could make a gentleman's agreement, I would commit that we will make sure that in that management plan we address making sure that we stay on top of now. And let me just be super clear here. We're not ever going to be able to commit to the prairie dog proof fence, primarily because And I know there's a lot of history here, and there were some comments made at county commission meetings back in 2001 that referenced that. The reality of it is, when the Fish and Wildlife Service was asked about that, they said no, because they would not count those prairie dogs towards recovery if a fence like that was put in, because it would eliminate gene flow. So if that would have been implemented, there would have been no point of ever purchasing the property, because none of it ever would have given us any credit towards recovery. And I know that all that happened long before my time, and there's a lot of history there. But what I'll commit to is making sure that we take a more proactive approach to creating a visual barrier, whether it's a silt fence or planting shrubs and other things to reduce the amount of the prairie dogs that are dispersing off of our property onto
those.
Sounds
like it might be advantageous to at least bury the silt fence somewhat, maybe a foot or
yeah, we could figure something.
So they can't see under it, right?
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of sagebrush and stuff like that, and I think if they could have dug that,
cleared it,
yeah.
It was
kind of done as an emergency effort this year. It was done in June. The prairie dogs had already started moving off. If we can, you know, what we can do is get out there earlier, get it sealed up as best we can, you know, prior to dispersing taking place, and we could commit to that in our WMA plan. And I would invite these gentlemen to be part of that process as we write the plan and review it. It's not going to be 100%. It'll be better than this year. But I also, you know, would just point your attention to, this last couple of years have been significant, but they've been the exception and not the rule. There'll come a time when that population will drop back down, and the nuisance and the impacts that it creates will drop down along with that. And that's just the nature of the species. They're going to go up and down. But I think we ought to put a trigger in our plan that says if we have a spring count over a certain level, then we make sure that prior to dispersal time that there's some sort of visual barrier that's in place, so that 10 years from now, you know, if we had a time when populations dropped and they started coming back up, there was something that we could point to that said, look, the division committed to doing this proactively, and I think we could commit to do that. So
obviously they'd like the division to handle it, but they do have a right to eliminate the dogs if they want to.
Yeah, during those time periods.
Their property.
And again, we're all pointing towards getting to delisting. Once delisting takes place, we'll be able to work way better with these guys, because we'll be playing by rules that we wrote rather than playing by somebody else's rules. We're still going to have to conserve prairie dogs and make sure that we're keeping numbers on the landscape that keep them from being listed again, because that's always a possibility. But when we can eliminate, when it can be just us working with the county and with the individual landowners, rather than having to go to the Fish and Wildlife Service and ask Mother May I, which is kind of what it's been, it can be a lot better. Now, that's still 5 to 10 years away. This delisting process doesn't happen quickly. And we'll do our best in the meantime. And then also once they are delisted, we just have a lot better options to work with folks. So,
I think the Fish and Wildlife Service does require a permit for landowners, but that's a very easy process.
Yeah, we can get all that stuff in place. And like I said, we'll continue to do whatever their preference is, whether it's lethal control from them or live trapping from us or a combination of both. Those things are all on the table. So I hope that helps. Is that the kind of commitment that you'd be looking for, and that would help if we'd put that in our wildlife management, our WMA plan?
Is the language in the buy agreement to that, to basically enforce, you know what I mean? If you have a you were buying the 20 acres in that contract, like was in the initial, or is this, you know, the language, you're aware of that, right?
Will you read that sentence that's in that, Sam?
It says, Dennis Stoll made a motion to pursue acquisition of 180 acres of the Allen Daly Farm to work towards acquisition of an additional adjacent 20-acre parcel to make a total of 200 acres. Criteria contingent upon a combination of fencing and or other methods to protect adjacent landowners from encroachment. And it's, you know, it's just one of those really frustrating things, especially when you look into the extended, we feel so helpless in it. Because, you know, what is the cost to our airports? What's the cost of our society for this little blip DNA on a prairie dog that makes him a little bit different than the other million or 2 or 3 million through the country? And that's just my rational, irrational mind voicing how silly it is, the money we spend on this program. And that's as crazy as I'm going to get today. Just the world we live in.
Yeah.
Make sure the language, you know, is this new contract is what I'm asking for.
So the frustrating part for me is it's in that agreement, it says that they will contain and manage the dogs that are there, which due to a lot of circumstances did not happen, right? So my concern is if you go purchase this next 20 acres, they're going to move on. You know, they're already there. But that provides more habitat for them. But we need to control them in that that confined space. It's like a bad neighbor moving in and they're bringing the party, and they call the sheriff and say, hey, there's a party, and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. So what I would recommend, Commissioner, if the commission is amenable, is that in the letter of support, which we add some language to that letter that documents our commitment to include you know, visual barrier and whether it's fencing or other things in our WMA management plan, which is approved by our director and becomes our marching orders at that point. And that process will take place over the next few months, and we'll work with these guys to make sure that we have language in there that they feel comfortable with and that we feel like we can accomplish. There's going to have to be a compromise there, right? But I think we can figure out a way to do it through that planning
and what
process.
The county, and I'm speaking for everybody, and what they're asking for is to be good neighbors. They're fantastic neighbors, and they're going to be good neighbors. And if dogs come on their property and they start shooting them, you're immediately going to call law enforcement to take care of the problem that's encroaching.
We'll give them a permit to shoot them, but it's just that there's those sideboards that have to be on it. Yeah. So.
And I voiced that how ridiculous it is to say this is your property, you have this pest on your farm, but I can't even pull out a gun unless I have a permit from them to go use that.
Yeah,
right.
That time of year.
Yeah.
So there's multiple constraints put on the neighbors.
Right.
For their, you know, your friend, you know, trying hard, but then I've got to go online, and I'm illiterate when it comes to online, and fill out this permit for me or my son or whoever. Yeah. And I there's got to be a better way for that one when it comes to control. Again, that's just another legislative act that says, okay, you can do this, but now you got to go get a permit.
Yeah.
Again, this is my farm,
right?
My land, and, you know, we're trying to reach a solution. I'm sorry, I don't intend for this to be that, you know, aggravated, but.
If I may, let me just ask. So when I was the chief here in Parowan, and the airport fence was put in, after they trapped their 70%, they issued the city a kill permit that had no restrictions. It was a letter, it had no expiration, and allowed the police department to go down and kill any prairie dogs at any time that was within the confines of the airport. Is there anything, at least a letter, that can be issued without expiration date or without requirement?
Was that issued by the
so that would have been issued by the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Remember who it was issued by?
What year was that, Ken?
Probably not, because that was based on one of the 2012. Yeah, that would have been based on the fence that was buried 6 feet down and creating that barrier. We're not going to be able to put that kind of a fence up in this situation, but we do have. I mean, we have 6 months of the year where we can do control efforts, and we'll commit to doing as much as we can during that time to get it down to the control effort. Now, and just to be clear, this 20 acres probably isn't going to make the difference one way or the other on
their efforts. They're trying hard to make this
work. So you mentioned it was a struggle putting this in with existing sagebrush, right? Seems to me, I mean, being in excavation my whole life, do something like that?
What I would say is let's work through that process in our WMA management plan and figure out something that's workable for them and that we think we can accomplish. And I'll commit to that we'll do that. And the other part of it, you know, from the county's standpoint is we have these mitigation funds that you guys have collected that are sitting there. They're ear tagged for the purchase of land. There's always going to be some controversy around prairie dogs, but I don't know that we're going to find a better spot than this that will actually move us towards, you know, the conservation levels that we need to get to in a meaningful way to get to where we all want to be, which is the state has management authority. We're able to work more closely with people with a lot less red tape attached. But we're not there yet, and it's going to take some – I'm thrilled that we've started the process, but it's still going to take some time to work through. So,
have you two read the letter that's been edited by the county?
So I've got them up on the screen. DWR sent us a letter, and then this is the letter that I sent to the commissioners. They're pretty much the same except for the end.
You want to read that real quick, John?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'd like to.
get the producers before we vote on this to see if they're okay with the language of this letter.
And again, there's this other letter here, and so this is.
This one that I had that I read to you is March 12, 2001.
Yeah, this is.
So this is letter from the commissioner in support of this, commissioners in support of this. And after the last meeting, on October 27th, the county commissioners Ken Robinson, Michael Blake, and Paul Cousins met with representatives from the DWR to the adjacent landowner's property. I missed a.
So we have
an apostrophe there.
We can check
the
that one.
Property
that one,
surveyed for prairie dogs.
Jonathan, John, or that one's been done. We have those baseline levels of 34
south. Yeah.
East and south.
East and south.
There's a couple